Now. The title of the talk is OpenOffice.org and Zool. I'm talking about embedding the Gecko rendering engine in OpenOffice.org. And okay. It's better like this? Well, even closer? Okay. And so the main topic of the talk is about finding an alternative for the currently used user interface framework in OpenOffice.org. First, a few words about me. So I'm with a Southwest developer at Sun since 2000. Meanwhile, I am the project lead of the graphic system layer module. And my main topic is the VCL class library, which is the layer that is responsible for the user interface. Within this VCL project, I'm main responsible for the VCL architecture. Another main topic is the Windows 32 support. So VCL has an independent and platform-dependent part. So the applications use, of course, the platform-independent part, and we have the job to bring this onto the different platforms like Windows, Linux, whatever. Some other things where I was involved are integration of more system windows. So in the beginning, we only had one single window from the operating system, and we're drawing everything into this, including the menus, including any kind of dialogues and stuff. So no window could ever go beyond this frame. And we changed the architecture so that we can use more native windows, which makes the integration into desktops easier. Other things were the accessibility stuff, so support for accessibility APIs so that screen readers or other accessibility tools are able to communicate with the OpenOffice product. Beyond this, we did work on mirrored user interfaces, so for Hebrew or Arabic localizations, it's also required to mirror the whole user interface, which is abbreviated by RTL, so right to left user interface, which is also available in VCL. A native widget framework, the stuff that is responsible for the better integration of controls, so that the controls look like those of native applications on the desktop environment, which is actually only drawn, so we do not use those controls, but we make identical drawing commands as the operating system would when it is about to draw those controls. So they look the same in OpenOffice and in native applications. I was working on toolbars in the last year. For this was the main project. All of you noticed probably the new toolbar functionality and look, of course. So also this was involved in changing the system window support again, because we provide our own decoration for the windows, etc., to circumvent several problems, especially with Windows, with Unix window managers that always have another opinion about who is responsible for the window, actually, the window manager or the application, for instance. Yes, and sometimes I'm also busy writing prototypes, which is what this talk is about. Before Sun, I was doing mostly graphic stuff, so I worked at a GIS company for cartography software, desktop mapping, and I did also some research in 3D computer graphics, but this is not really related to Office Suites. Okay, I will give you a short outline of the talk. So keep in mind, the goal is actually to evaluate an alternative user interface framework. So I will explain why we have the feeling that something like this might be useful. To begin with, I give a short overview of OpenOffice user interface layer, so basically what VCL provides. I will show different motivations that led us to the idea that we should maybe take the steps and change something, or at least try things out. Also, I will reference previous work in this area. I will introduce Zool, which is actually what is all about in this talk, because this was the idea to replace our user interface system with this technology, which I will describe later. Some technical details about embedding of the Gecko rendering engine, which is the key module that is able to display Gzul content. In fact, I will give a short demo that shows that it works if you put all the pieces together. And yeah, finally, I will give a short evaluation and, of course, tell you about the consequences this might have. Yeah, what I already told you in the introduction. So the main approach, or the approach of the user interface layer in OpenOffice, is that we take a single application window, which is the application frame, and draw everything on our own into this window. So we don't use system resources for, let's say, smaller windows that appear inside of this application frame. Everything is actually hand-drawn, so windows that you can move or somehow or you can, for instance, undock or things like this. So as long as they are painted in the application frame, this is just kind of a clipping region which represents this window. So other system windows come into play when you, for instance, open menus or drop-down lists or whatever. One important thing in this technique is, of course, that we are very free in what we do, what we actually display. So even how controls work and how controls are displayed. So there are controls in OpenOffice that are not available on any native toolkit. For instance, the treeless box has so many features in OpenOffice that you will not easily have the possibility to map it onto a tree list control on, let's say, Windows or GTK or whatever. So because we draw everything on our own, we have the possibility to change it as we would like. But of course, this might pose problems if you go on platforms where this is not supported, but you really want to let it look like native controls. But actually, we now have the situation that there are many rich controls in VCL or in layers that use it, and of course we have to care about this as well. And what I say, because we draw everything on our own, we also support user interface mirroring, so that the whole user interface can be rendered from right to left, which is required for Arabic or Hebrew markets. Then there's accessibility support, which means that every control can react to certain APIs, so you can query for the contents, for the text, for its state, which is required, of course, by tools that should read the contents of any user interface element to visual impacted users, for instance. The approach that was chosen in OpenOffice was to use a platform-independent way, which is the Java Access Bridge, so that we can use the same technology regardless if it's about the contents of our documents or of the user interface. So in fact, it's the same approach, actually. A very important part of the whole system, of course, is the resource system, which is, of course, strongly connected with the localization framework. And I think there were today at least two talks which already addressed issues in this area, so that it's really difficult to change something that you have to build everything when you want to change, for instance, localization or even more resource-related stuff. So I already addressed a few of those issues that we might have if we look for motivation in the UI implementation, actually. So resource system is definitely one of the biggest problems. So we have our own proprietary file format, which is not known outside of OpenOffice, of course. You definitely need a compiler if you want to change anything. So you start writing some script file, but in the end you have to compile it. You have to provide binary packages that can be used in the final product. And in fact, if you want to change anything, you probably end up with the whole build environment before you can even change anything. And of course, this is a steep step you have to take for changes. Then other consequences that are strongly connected with this is about the dialog content, so what we actually can display inside the dialogs or how it is displayed. So in those resource files, you provide fixed positions and fixed sizes for any element you are describing. So there is no such thing like a layout management. So if you try to increase the size of any dialog, typically it does not work because they are not sizable. But even if they would, the controls would not automatically reshape or remove to a useful position. So this some dialogs are able to do this, but this is then of course in the programmatic control of this single dialog and not provided by the system in any way, in any means. Another problem is if developers want to use the SDK to provide any components for OpenOffice that can be deployed easily, as we heard before, then it's rather difficult to make a nice UI, let's say some dialogues or whatever you want to display. We provide something like it's called an AWT toolkit, or it's similar to the Java AWT, it's not so strongly used within OpenOffice, so the quality is not really guaranteed, actually, because only a few modules really depend on it. So if external developers start using it, they probably will find problems and issues. In fact, they have no access to the resource system by using this approach, so they have to provide all the UI hard-coded and cannot use resource files. Another approach is to use Java to write the user interface for those components, but then there are different problems, like the theming typically will not match to the one used by the application, and there are always problems with the modality of dialogue, so that it's difficult to bring up a dialogue and the whole application is aware that it should be disabled right now and not allow any other user action, for instance. So this is also not a really good way to go. So also here an alternative would be good. Just to illustrate how the resource system works, or how a resource file looks like, I just integrate here a small part of a simple dialog, where you can see that there's some buttons are described, some radio buttons here, and it starts with an overall size of the dialog, which is in the second line. So actually this is the fixed size of everything. And then we have text parts that are displayed, and also those texts get a fixed position and of course a fixed size, which means, in other words, if some translation needs bigger strings, then they will just be clipped. So they have to go back, change the resource file again, and see that this string also fits to the existing dialog. On the other hand, when the largest language fits, then the smallest one ends up with lots of white space, of course. But there are other motivations where the main concern is about the whole connection between modules and between the user interface framework. So in fact, we have the situation now that we want to change something, but this is really not an easy task. And one of the origins where this comes from is that there is a really tight connection between the VCL library, which provides all the user interface elements, and the applications that use it. So we have large inheritance trees throughout modules. So if I change something in VCL module, other modules like SFX or whatever will end up having problems if I don't care about what they probably do or what they expect, how the base classes behave. So it's not only that might be the compiler will the compile at compile time we will get problems, but of course at runtime as well. So because of this tight connection and C++ API, it's really difficult to replace something and to take just any toolkit or whatever and try to replace existing modules. So as an example, I looked at how dialogs are implemented, in fact. And even here, which is something where you could expect that it's, well, the same thing for every dialogue, there are also different implementations because people just don't know that there is some API, or they don't use it, or they extend it because they need something which is not available in some base classes. But of course, this has nothing to do with an UNO API, which is fixed or something, which is just C++. And of course, you can do weird things like passing pointers through it and calling those pointers, which makes it really difficult if you want to replace something by a component that is probably not able to cope with C++ pointers. What this suggests is, of course, that we have something like an UNO API for the user interface development. So if there would be a strict border where there is the application and then where the API wraps everything that is in the user interface layer, this, of course, would be a good situation. But sadly, we are not there, and it's probably a very long way to reach this goal. But if we would make this step, of course, we were able to integrate other toolkits. We could exchange user interface at all. So overall, so for instance, imagine a port to the Macintosh, which would really look like a Macintosh application because it uses user interface guidelines and stuff that are really mandatory for this platform, but not for other platforms. Right now, you could, of course, change the controls so that they look like native applications, but still the overall appearance of the application will be quite different. But there are other platforms as well, for instance small devices, which also could profit from such an approach if the user interface would be separated from the core. Yeah, after all, the code would of course improve because a refactoring regarding all those topics of course would be required, otherwise there would be no change. So after all, I think it would be an improvement over many areas. Another point is maintainability, which currently is of course a problem and gets a bigger problem all the time. So of course, from one release to the next, typically no modules are removed or things are deleted, but typically things increase, new modules are added, everything gets larger. One motivation, of course, is to replace maybe some of existing modules with another technology or with something that is smaller or which is available, so that we also might improve from improvements that are made in those external projects. So right now the problem is, of course, if we want that something improves, we have to change it. So we have to actually do something, change the code to improve it. But of course, we will sometimes make regressions as well. So if we could benefit from speedups in external projects, so then the whole application would profit from some benefit from improvements in the external modules that are used. But of course, then we have new dependencies. So there's also the drawback here that we have to look at the quality of those external modules. We have to see what support we can get from them. We have to somehow fit them into our environments. And of course, we have to have a look at the roadmap. So what about if new releases are planned in a totally different release cycle, or if the direction of external projects changes? So of course, there are many more dependencies. So after all those motivations, I would like to reformulate or to revisit the goal I initially stated about looking for an alternative user interface framework. So I think it sums up to the point that we want to separate the applications or the core from the user interface in order to be able to change something. For instance, we could define a dialog API so that it would be possible to define dialogs on your own, because there is a fixed UNO API for certain dialogs, and you could implement it however you wanted. Take some arbitrary toolkit and just implement it. The only requirement is that it is possible to connect it to UNO. Of course, it would be useful to use a toolkit that provides additional functionality than the one that is currently provided by VCL alone. Otherwise, probably this approach would not make so much sense. But even if we would reach this point, then there would be still the problem that you cannot really customize what you have. So let's say as kind of an end user or a system integrator or whatever. So if you would have to compile or to provide components that change dialog contents or the dialog layout, you would still not be able to change that this dialog is triggered at all, because this of course happens from inside, from the application. For instance, if you press some shortcut or if you open a menu, then the application brings up the dialog. But the only thing that you can change is how the dialog looks like, but you cannot change the functionality actually. So a long-term goal, or better, a vision would of course be to provide an external framework for the whole user interface, so that you can bring up dialogs whenever you want, and they would just connect to the core application and change parameters, let's say from the currently selected paragraph or whatever, so that you could actively provide a UI that does what it wants and not what is triggered and hard coded into the core modules. So in fact we could end up with something like embeddable components, so that you have this external framework and you would just plug in some writer module or some calc module or whatever, and the whole user interface would be outside. But of course this is a really long term goal. So I think the motivations already made clear that we should probably change something, but also in the past we had talks on the open office conferences last year and the year before. So in 2003, Thorsten had a session about new toolkit or a new canvas for openoffice.org. So the new canvas is reality now, but new toolkit, of course, was, I think, the discussion started around that time. And we came up with a lot of, you know, names of toolkits and what they should probably provide, but then not so much happened. Then the next year, Dan Williams had a talk about the user interface layout process, where he demanded that we should do something like, yes, of course, automatic layout, like simplifying the whole process with the resources, with the resource compiler, with string exchanges, things that I summaried in the slides before. So the request for the change in this area is really old, actually. Perhaps a few words about this. So in the initial talks that were held about this in this area, we tried to come up with some toolkit that might be useful to exchange the VCL layer. And of course, there were names like Qt or GTK or VWX widgets or whatever, however they are called. But after all, I think if you consider the work that has to be done just to integrate it, it's not worth the effort, because in the end you might only end up with perhaps a layout mechanism, which is something you could actually also implement in VCL. So that means the last thing is still an option, so that we just write our own layouter and change the resource system, which would be some short-term solution which would address those problems, but of course would us not bring into something which I tried to explain before, so a more radical change of the whole connection between user interface and the core applications. But in the end, all those toolkits are, of course, they have sometimes superior to VCL, but the differences are, in the end, probably not so big, and the details will be really the problem, actually. For instance, implementing all those controls that are maybe not available and things like that. Yeah, but Zool is more. Actually, this is what I then started to evaluate. And so in the next slides, I would like to explain a little bit how what Zool actually is, and what my approach was to try if it is possible to integrate it into our dialog management, actually. So first, XUL is an XML dialect, which stands for XML User Interface Language. And it connects actually three different technologies. So the file format is XML, so which describes the user interface elements, and the layout, which is based on the concept of hierarchical boxes that are defined and that can grow and shrink depending on some constraints. Then we have cascading style sheets so that you can influence how the contents would look like. This would provide things like skins or even other approaches, like, for instance, you could use it for debugging your user interface while you are developing it, because you can highlight certain things that typically would not appear like this, perhaps some tags that are only required to have the layout functionality working, which are of course not visible in the user interface, but they are still there, and if you want to have a look at them, it's easy to just make them visible by changing the style sheet that describes how they are rendered. And then the final, the third part of it is JavaScript, which is the scripting language that is used to provide the programmatic control in the dialogs. So how user interface elements interact with each other, how things are disabled or enabled, depending on some other controls, evaluation of any input that you did, things like that. So XUL is actually the core technology of the whole Mozilla application suite. So the whole user interface, which you see there, is rendered in XUL. So also all the other applications that stem from this approach, like Firefox, Thunderbird, etc. So there's already a wide spread usage of this technology. So it's not new and it's not undocumented, and there's already a huge community providing, for instance, additional components that can be used then in those browsers, for instance, and all this stuff is based on XUL in the end. Another term that I initially mentioned is Gecko. Gecko is the name of the rendering engine that is used to display XUL contents, and it's also able to display the web contents. So it's the same rendering engine that is used for the contents of pages and for the whole user interface that can sometimes be, of course, inside those pages in forms of forms actually, or of course of dialogues in the user interface of the browser, for instance. So the Gecko engine is not something that is only somewhere deeply integrated in those applications, but it also provides an embedding API so that you can write your own browser if you're not satisfied with how, let's say, Firefox looks like. You could also write your own browser and just use the engine to render web contents, for instance, which is actually what I did in this prototype. The whole Gecko rendering engine also comes as a smaller application, which is called XUL Runner, which is something which is currently still under development and not officially released, if I understood it correctly. But the idea is, of course, if there are multiple applications on one machine that want to use this technology, it makes no sense that all those applications have to ship or have to use their own binary of the Gecko runtime engine. So the idea of the XUL Runner is that you can provide your XUL package in any form, which is then opened by the XUL Runner and displayed, and the whole framework is of course only installed once on your machine. I think we have the situation still right now, if you install the Thunderbird and the Firefox and maybe the plain Mozilla, then you end up with three installations of it, because they are also still not using it in a single place, but are working on it. So maybe to give a rough comparison about some features that are currently available in VCL and that are available in XUL, if you ever can compare it, actually, because it's quite different technology and quite different approach. But of course, if you start evaluating if you can replace existing stuff, you have to see if everything is available that you currently have. Otherwise, it probably makes not much sense to do so. So of course the first thing is to have a look at basic controls like push buttons or radio buttons or whatever. Of course they are available, so this is not a problem. But what I already mentioned, we also have some extended controls which are not available in Xul, and I was actually a little bit shocked when I saw that even not spin fields, for instance, as a rather standard interface element is not available in Xul, so you're not able to provide those spin boxes that we have, I think, in almost 50% of all our dialogues. So this might be an issue, actually. But what recently came up is a new framework which is called XTF that was integrated in the last Firefox versions. And they implemented it in order to support the XForms, to provide XForms support, and are actually using it. So the basic idea behind this framework is that you can invent your own Xul tags and provide an implementation of the corresponding functionality, which can then be implemented in a native way. So in forms of components, actually. But this is only, Siri, I actually did not try it, and I'm not sure if this would work in our environment, but at least there seems to be a solution for extended controls in this sense. Well, localization support, without this, of course, such application suites were not possible at all, but of course this is provided by Xul as well. Then about a more support for Asian market, for instance, or the BIDA user interface, what I already mentioned, is also available in Xul, so that you also have support for CJK, for complex scripts, for user interface mirroring. So those are all features that are really important, that work quite well in VCL, and of course we may not lose it. Accessibility support in Xul is platform dependent. In OpenOffice, we use a Java Access Bridge. So in Xul applications, the native access support of the accessibility support of the underlying platform is used. So it's not clear if this can be solved in a reasonable way. If one would try to use Xul in more places, so what I just tried was to use it for dialogues, and because dialogues have their own system frame window, which comes from the operating system, actually all those accessibility features can actually be limited to only this frame. So the dialogue may be used by a different accessibility implementation than the rest of the application. But of course, this requires that the screen reader or whatever tool is actually able to use both approaches. The layout manager. There's one point: the system integration. We call it native widget framework, which provides a native widget look in OpenOffice.org 2.0. In fact, Mozilla is using the very same approach, so this would be no problem at all. And in fact, it integrates very well with our solution. Yeah, layout management is not available in VCL, as I said, but this would be something we, of course, would get from this environment. Then things like rapid prototyping, which is regarding our resource compiler and build process, not possible at all, is easily possible with this technology. Then style sheets, what I mentioned, exist in Xul. Then perhaps one thing that was also often very on top of any wish list was that we should provide some resource editor, some user interface editor where you can easily paint your dialogue. This is something that VCL does not provide, at least not in some standalone fashion. You can do it with the basic IDE, but I don't think that any core star or OpenOffice developer ever draw his dialogue with the basic IDE, but probably used it just just took his editor and wrote those files that I previously showed you. So Xur user interface editor, actually I did not try out anything, but I know there exist a few, which is quite more than for VCL, of course, and so the hope is that they even improve if they are perhaps not in a really useful, really good to use right now. Yeah, and finally, the resource format is a binary format which is used by OpenOffice or by VCL, in contrast to the XML, which is the basic technology behind XUL, of course. Okay, so to see if we can somehow bring this into our application, I tried to embed the Gecko engine in VCL Dialogs. So I wrote a very simple demo application that was inspired by some of the samples provided in the Mozilla build tree. So there is a directory which provides you a few embedding samples for GTK, for Windows, etc. And in fact, all what you have to do is to implement three interfaces that are basically required so that an external application frame can be used by a Gecko, that you can, did you get some resize events where you have to react to, and of course the activation so that keyboard input, stuff like that, would work. So in fact, as a result, you get a pretty small and basic web browser after you implemented those interfaces. So the solution here is then that the whole window management, so the creation of Windows is done by VCL methods. So I open up a standard VCL window, and then a Gecko can render into this window and covers it full frame, like any control or whatever that you would put into a dialog. So this means you can render web or XUL content in this small control. The demo also supports the so-called Chrome URLs. These are XUL packages that you have somehow integrated in your system or installed as a user. So it must not be installed system-wide. And once they are installed, you have additional possibilities, like several security stuff that is not easily possible, is possible when you have such Chrome packages, so that you can easily access files, for instance. The whole XUL tree, so which makes up all the dialog controls, etc., is exactly like a web page, is provided by a document object model, which can be traversed. So that you can access all the individual controls even from an application side, even if you do not know what script probably is provided when you open the dialog. It's also possible to intercept key input, which is required, for instance, to make the online help possible, so that if some user presses any key in the dialogs, then it's possible that we can get this information and trigger whatever we want to do, or for instance to make all shortcuts work that worked before, because the control logic would be in fact out of control of the rest of the VCL components. So it's required that those parts that listen on key events can still get those information. Okay, so to get this this prototype running, there were a few other things required. So what I just explained is only the part that makes the windowing stuff. But in the end, if you want to bring up a dialog that really communicates and really does something with the office, you need a way to communicate in this this field using JavaScript with OpenOffice. And this is something which was not available before. So Daniel Bölzle wrote an XPCOM Uno bridge that I could use that is able so that communicate between XPCOM, which is the component model of Mozilla, and UNO, which is our component model, of course, so that it's possible to script OpenOffice using JavaScript. The dialogue I chose is a fairly simple one, but of course it was only to see if it works at all. Is the Zoom dialogue, which just has a few radio buttons and an edit field. So I thought it would be simple enough and no controls are missing. In fact, I use, of course, the VCL, the new VCL control that embeds the Gecko engine, the XPCOM UNO bridge, and a Chrome package that describes the dialogue and all the strings that appear in it. And finally, we needed a small UNO service that is installed as a UNO package to be able to communicate with the, to access the dialog parameters. So there's a special API used within OpenOffice, how dialogs are fed with parameters. Then those dialogs change the parameters and they come back into the application. And those parameters are called item sets, which have no UNO representation right now. So there was a small service required to be able to transfer those parameters between the two application modules. Okay, so I will try to start this short demo. So first I would like to show you this initial thing, which is just a simple application outside of the office process, and then the next demo then will show how it integrates into running OpenOffice installation. Okay, so this is what we call the VCL workbench, which sits somewhere in the VCL directories and is used to just bring up some or to test out new features, new controls, whatever. So it is, of course, it runs in the OpenOffice environment, but it, it's just like a small test bed. And I provided here a few buttons, and perhaps the first one shows you the main thing. So in fact, it brings up a small a browser window actually, and let's see if the wireless LAN works here. Then it should maybe display. Yeah, okay. Brings it up like a modal dialog, so maybe I can. Yes. Okay, I think this is better. So the rest of the application is still not usable. Of course, you can resize it and move it, but it's currently disabled because this component is opened like any modal dialog, for instance. But so we have keyboard input here so that we can scroll, and of course, it's actually a full. Working web browser based on in the end based on VCL actually. So let's see if we can access other sites here as well. Yeah, as you see, this is just normal, like it should appear in any browser. Perhaps a few words about the footprint. So after I pulled up all those libraries that were required to display it. This sums up to about 12 or 13 megabytes under Windows, which comes into the process, of course, in form of the whole rendering, the Gecko rendering engine and the required libraries. This can, of course, be more if you use certain features on your web page that might pull in additional libraries that are also loaded by demand. But this is probably not so important if you just use it in the user interface. Perhaps a small thing that I mentioned previously is about
style sheets. Exactly here we can see it. So there's a simple style sheet that describes that those hierarchical boxes that describe the layout should be displayed with some red border so that you can easily detect where a new hierarchy starts. And this is something that is that would easily allow you to for instance, debug your user interface. In fact, this can, of course, be changed to something like... So I just changed the CSS file to make those things in another different color, and of course then it shows up and is different because the style sheet was changed. Okay, after this was working, this looked very promising. We brought together all the other pieces. Let's see. Yeah. So, which means the bridge, which is required for the JavaScript support, and the small service to access the dialog parameters. Okay, so here is writer, and let's see. So view and zoom, and that's the dialog written in Xul. So if you don't believe it, I can do something which is not possible in VCL dialogs, of course. So you see the buttons move to the right, the edit field grows, and of course without actively providing any code for it. And to see if it really changes something, we can change it to 200%, and of course it works. So it also works here. There's a shortcut to view zoom if you double click on it. You can of course enter some text here, and so the communication works. What you also can do is, for instance, change something. Okay, make it a little bit bigger with this nice dialogue. So in fact, this is the Xul file. Here come the radio buttons. And for instance, if I wanted to disable the layout management, I could change this parameter here, save the file using writer, and when I open it, you know, the edit field, maybe I can highlight it a little bit, keeps its small size and does not grow with the rest of the dialogue. But in fact, what I just did is something that would be, of course, totally impossible with the old technology. And this is something which, of course, can be called rapid prototyping, so that you can directly change something. The process is all the time running, and you can see how it changes. The same is true for the strings, of course, so that the control here would move to the right if the string would be bigger, and things like this. Okay, so we just saw that so that the proof of concept was successful, but of course there are a few things that I should mention as well, that although it looked like it worked everything, that there are many problems which were obviously not so apparent right now. So one thing I already mentioned is this missing UNO API for the item sets. So what I provided was really just a hack to get the parameters that are required for this very Zoom dialog. And there's a general API is completely missing. So this must be provided. On the other hand, many dialogs even don't use this.
So they start, as I said in the beginning, start moving pointers around so that they provide a pointer to some internal data structure into the dialog implementation in order to have the dialog implementation call something on this pointer, which of course is totally impossible if the dialog is implemented by Java in JavaScript, because C++ pointers of course make no sense here. Then the accessibility API mismatch is something that of course must be deeply investigated if it would not break something. So on Windows I had it running somehow, but I would not say that this is already proven that it works, especially on the GNOME for instance, or in other environments, or with other screen readers for instance than the one that I was using. I talked about those complex controls. So an evaluation of this extended tech framework or XTF is completely missing right now. So one would have to start writing own controls using this technology and see if they can really deploy it in such an environment. The whole deployment, of course, is another problem. So Xu Runner might be an option, but it's unclear when this will be widely available. Right now, I'm using exactly the same Mozilla version that we also use in the OpenOffice.org builds. So it is, I think, some 1.7.5, whatever, which is partly checked in the source trees or is compiled within the build. And so I was sure that everything works together. But it's unclear if there's any binary compatibility planned or available in future Mozilla versions, for instance. So that means in the end, you have to ship, of course, everything on your own if you will make sure that it will work on the on the destination machine. Then there are pieces inside OpenOffice.org that are already using Mozilla libraries. For instance, the address book integration, so you can use the address book of Mozilla as a data source. This code is right now not compatible with the approach that I chose because they have a completely different way of bootstrapping Mozilla. So I use this embedding API, which brings up Mozilla, which can only be called once in a process. You cannot unload it, actually. So once this code has been run, it's probably impossible to use other Mozilla components that we are currently using. So this is something that that has to be clarified as well. Then of course we have the whole build environment that has to be adapted, especially the localization framework must be able to cope with the way how Xul uses localization, how Xul files look like. They have to, it must be possible to parse them. So in a talk this morning, there was also the database mentioned that is used for the translation, and from the database strings are fed back into the resource system. All those processes of course have to be adapted. Then there's this online help. The online help technology works in a way that every control has certain IDs that are passed to a help engine. So this is also something that Xul dialogs of course do not provide unless you hard code those IDs into it. For OpenOffice dialogs this is currently done, but I'm not sure if this is a good way in a Xul framework. Perhaps there are other possibilities which I'm not aware of, so this also is something that has to be clarified. And then there is the so-called test tool, which is also strongly dependent on VCL and VCL's behavior. So this is used for automatic testing of the user interface. So this is actually a library that can create or generate user events in form of mouse clicks or keyboard input, whatever. And so this is strongly used in our QA department. And of course, using another user interface library than VCL would of course break this tool. And so this is also something that has to be at least changed, or there has to be provided some solution for it. So the consequence is that we probably do not have XUL in OpenOffice.org 3.0, but that the evaluation continues because there are still many open questions. I think this prototype shows that in general it is possible to use this technology. If it's the best technology available is unclear, but we are not aware of anything that provides so many interesting ideas and would probably make such a big change to the core applications as well. And so in order to get more familiar with the technology or to change at least a few of our processes to prepare maybe a later integration of the XUL application framework is to change the online help system, which is currently, it is based on HTML files, but they are currently displayed using OpenOffice.org Writer. So of course we could easily use this Gecko control that I showed in the small demo, which is complete web browser that of course is able to display the online help contents and probably faster than a writer can. And this of course would be a change that could be reverted if we encounter two strong problems that might be not solvable, because also in the online help accessibility, for instance, is an issue. So the help system, of course, must be readable by an online by a screen reader. So it's not clear if a solution is possible in next time in this field. But of course, it would address certain important goals, as I mentioned before. So perhaps the last thing that I also wrote up as a motivation. So for SDK programmers, of course, they do not really need resources, because of course right now they also cannot use resource system of VCL. So it would be possible to provide, let's say, some wrapping around this control so that they could write their user interface using XUL. But on the other hand, it probably makes not much sense to use such a new technology only for external developers if it's not used inside by the application. So the quality is probably cannot be guaranteed, because only few people are using it, and so this might maybe not improve the situation actually. Okay, so my last slide is just about the credits. I would like to mention the guys that were also strongly involved in this prototype. So perhaps first Daniel Bertzler, who wrote the XPCOM UNO bridge. Without the whole prototype, of course, would not be possible at all. Philip Lohmann helped me a lot with the GTK support, so the demo is also running on GNOME. And Kai Ramme, who was the initiator of the whole project and is of course the XUL promoter here and is in the audience, so maybe you want to say also a few words regarding the whole topic, or maybe we have some questions later then. Okay. I just want to write up a few web resources that I found pretty interesting in the whole field. So of course the Mozilla pages about embedding, then there's the XUL Planet webpage. And there are actually two complete books available online that deal with application development within the Mozilla framework. And so I think those pointers might be useful if you're interested in this technology. Thank you.